Welcome to another broadcast ministry with Kingdom Mind Ministries, Inc., that is KMM, and I am prophet and teacher Charles T. Walker. If you want to do correspondence with me, you can write me at kingdommindministries@gmail.com. That is one word, kingdommindministries@gmail.com. I'm glad to be with you again on another broadcast. Last week we talked about the two sons of Isaac, Jacob and Esau, and we looked at some of the characteristics of these two sons. And today I want to talk with you in our teaching ministry. We want to look at some of the genealogy curses or some things that had been passed on from the bloodlines of Isaac's grandfather or through that bloodline. And today in our teaching with you and my listening audience, it will be helpful for you to identify what type of spirits or what types of habits or what type of behaviors that you can see in maybe a significant other that you love in your family. Or maybe it could be someone outside of your family that's significant to you, important in your life. It might be a buddy or a good friend. Or you can understand how things in our descendant line, in our lineage, in our bloodline, things that are passed down from some of the doors that have been opened through some of our forefathers, our foreparents. And we'll talk about that in this teaching ministry today. But let me recap on what I talked about on last week. Last week, we dealt about Jacob and Esau, and we looked how Esau did not have the respect in doing things God's way. First, let's talk and recap a little bit about Jacob. Jacob was a man who was groomed in etiquette. He was groomed in how to care for a woman, what qualities to look for a woman. Because we saw that he was in the home with his mom. We can look at him as a mama's boy or one who stayed close under mama. And he did a lot of things. He cooked. He was a good cook. And we learned that when Esau gave up his birthright. We learned that Jacob was a good cook. I'm sure any female out there that's listening today would enjoy a man that can cook. You know, we live in a time now, there's no role distinctions between our genders, between male and female. We have males that can cook just good and well as females can cook. So Jacob was that kind of guy. He remained in the home. And we saw that Esau was an outdoorsman. He liked to hunt. And he did that a lot. And he was similar to his father, who enjoyed the wild game, wild turkey, deer, roe, whatever that might have been back in their times that they hunted and they ate. Could have been geese, duck, wild boar, all of those types of things. But Jacob was one of those that did stay up under mom, and he enjoyed learning how to look and care for a wife. And we saw that also come out when Jacob decided to get married. Remember, he looked and married Rachel and Leah. And we'll look at that too at some time as our program go along, so we can see some generational things that transfers through the bloodline. Now, again, let's tell you what type of quality Jacob was. Jacob sat up under his mother's teaching, sat up under his mother's feet, for she taught him how to look for a wife, to care for a wife. His characteristic was he followed his parents' decisions. He followed what his parents had to say. He was more likely to do and to please his parents. He was just abiding by those Ten Commandments. When in those Ten Commandments, it says, honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon the earth. That's what Jacob did. Unlike Esau, he did not honor his mother and father, and we'll look at that in just a second. But in Genesis chapter 27, verse 8, we can see that when Rebekah, his mother, said something to Jacob, he did it. She said, "Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father." And she said it again on another occasion in verse number 13 of the same chapter 27 of Genesis. She said, "Just do what I say, go and get them for me." Jacob was that son that he wanted to please mom and dad. However, if we look at the qualities of Esau, we can see that Esau was a different type of character than Jacob. Remember, these are twins. And just because twins may look alike, identical twins make them look alike, they might have slight different characteristics. It might be what they use as that yin-yang theory, forces of good and evil. One is might be good and one might be evil. We don't know that until the characteristics come out. But here's the type of qualities that Esau was. Esau had qualities that were a little negative from the beginning. Because I say a little negative from beginning is because we see one thing that he displayed as his overall character, and that said a lot about him. You know, first impressions are the lasting impressions. And so when we come in the 25th chapter, verse 31 of Esau, we saw that Jacob told Esau, "Sell me your birthright if I'm gonna give you some of my cooking." And the very next verse, verse 32, Esau says, "Look, I'm about to die. What good is a birthright to me?" Being the head of the home and being the boy chosen to receive a double portion of all the inheritance of his parents, he had no respect for those things to come to him. He readily didn't see the benefit of it until later on down the road when his father Isaac was to die, and we learned that he blessed Jacob. Okay? And he says and he cries out, oh, my father, is there but a blessing for me? Is there a portion for me? And so we talked on the last time, we told our audience to be careful of what you are so quick to give up, what you are so quick to throw away based on your immediate need or the things that you would do when you are put in a position between a rock and a hard place, then you would choose the things that is not in the will of God just to satisfy or appease that situation that you're suffering from at that moment. We have to be careful of that. We saw that when Esau did that, it displayed a characteristic that he cared nothing about the things of God. Because God is the one that said that the firstborn was to receive the double portion of inheritance, as well as present him before me at the temple so that he could be enlisted into the service of God. What he said is, "I will be my own man. I will do things my own way, and I don't need God to do it." He was a type of person that was in control of his own destiny and in control of himself. Indeed, when he said, "I'm about to die, I don't care about a birthright," he prophesied his own doom, not knowing that he died to become the first son to receive the double portion, and it went to Jacob. You might say, "Teacher, how in the world can Jacob be looked up as having good qualities when he tricked him? Could that be the will of God?" Well, if you think about it, did anybody tell Esau to give up his birthright? God sure didn't tell him. He did it on his own free will. So, and then because he'd given it up, He wasn't forced to do anything by it. Jacob wanted to make sure that that will come to light. So he did trick his father in a sense to go ahead and add the blessing unto him. And so the second quality that we saw also about Esau is, first, he did not care about the things of God. Second characteristic about him, coming out of Genesis, the 26th chapter, verse 34. Esau was 40 years old, and then he decided to marry a Hittite. Basemath, the daughter of Eglon, the Hittite. And he married Judith, daughter of Beeri, the Hittite. He married two Hittite women. Those were his first wives. He did not have respect for the things of God. I remember in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, where God had told Moses that when he bring you into the land to possess, that these are the members in that land, these are the nations that you are to drive out. He said, you are to drive out those many nations. The first one came up in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are entering to possess and drive out before you many nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Esau did not do that. And because of that, these women, the Hittites, women were worldly women. They represented on the high places and they sacrificed to Baal or to Baal, B-A-A-L. And that was the god of fertility. And on those high places and up there in secrecy, we have some today all over the world that we have millionaires, billionaires go to these secret clubs and they are infested into festivities of lust and all kind of sexual perversion and lustful sexual orgiastic activities. That's what they did on the high places. That's what they did upon the mountains. And that's why God says, when I'm bringing you into this land, destroy it. Do not let it become a snare to you. But for somehow, Esau was a worldly man. First of all, he gave up his birthright. He did not want to do things God's way. He did not have respect to the move or the spirit of God, being endowed as the firstborn. Then secondly, he was a man that liked those sexual perversionary things. He liked a woman that was full of sexual perversion and lust. And so in his first marriage at 40 years of age, he went ahead and he married the Hittites. And as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 2, that the Hittites were the first of the nations that were to be destroyed. And so he's a worldly man. He seeks after lust. He's a lustful man. Whatever his eyes want at the time, that's what Esau was. And the third thing about Esau is he was not like Jacob, who when his mom says, what I tell you to do, do it. Go out to the flock, get me two choice goats and bring it back so that I can cook it for your father. He obeyed with immediacy, quickly, whatever his parents told him. But Esau, on the other hand, since he was self-governed, since he carried the spirit of stubbornness on him, which is really witchcraft, the spirit of stubbornness is really not rebellion, but it's a person who says, I'll do what God says, but partly of that, I'll do it my own way and not fully how God has said to do it. He was a stubborn person, a spirit of stubborn in that he held high to his opinions rather than to the righteousness that came from the word of God. And so Esau, in his third characteristics other than Jacob, he did not obey his parents' instructions, because we can see that in the 28th chapter of Genesis, verse number 6. When Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Padan Aram to take a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. Now, didn't we just talk about that in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 to 2? Canaanites were also among those seven nations they were to drive out because of their sexual perversion, because of the worldliness of these women. And some of you are creeping and tipping in the church out to worldly women because you think that the godly woman that you have or the godly man that you have doesn't have enough of the worldly stuff that you desire and like. So you'll tip out and you will go and you will play with that spirit. You will intermingle with that spirit, or you'll create a soul tie with that spirit. And once you got that spirit on you, you continually want the things that that spirit has offered you and do. You have unionized yourself with that spirit. Some of you have done that. I don't want, some of you say that are listening, I don't want a woman in the church. She's too plain. She's too holy. She's too godly. You'll say that with a man. We can't do that. We can't go and do this. We can't do and do that. He's restricted to his ministry. He's all about God. I want a man that can wine and dine me and throw worldly things at me. So you too, women in the church, you will go out and you will seek that man who can offer you all of these sexual perversions that the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all of them were, the Amorites, all of them were. But see, when Esau knew that their mother and father disapprove of a Canaanite woman, and Jacob obeyed, verse 7 says of the 28th chapter of Genesis, it says, do not marry a Canaanite woman, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Padan Aram. That's the third time we see Jacob and his characteristic as one of the twins. He obeyed his parents. He wasn't perfect. Again, we'll talk about that maybe on another broadcast. He obeyed his parents for the third time. Two times his mother told him to do something, he did it. The third time, both of them told him to do something, and it says Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Padan Aram. But in verse 8, here's Esau. Esau then realized how displeasing Canaanite women were to his father, Isaac, that he went on and he married Mahalath, in addition to the wives he already had. And she was of the Canaanites. See, Esau was a lustful man. Whatever his eyes wanted, he did. And if it meant giving up the place and the favor of God, Esau did that. He gave up his birthright for some quick meal to eat. Now he is marrying again Canaanite women, even though it displeased his mother and father. He had a spirit of revenge as well, a spirit of spitefulness as well. And that only came upon Esau when he had opened the door to it, when he saw that Jacob was favored with the blessing. Sometimes we have to be careful that the small door that we open up can carry a large spirit into our hearts. For example, he is still wounded. The spirit of trauma or the spirit of a wound can enter into you and bring other spirits to help control your life thereafter. So if some of you are listening today that you have experienced childhood rape by any relative in your family, that door that was open, that violation that happened to you, now you can become hateful of every man on the face of the earth, and you could carry a lot of anger, or there can be a murder spirit within you that has been brought into that door open of that perpetration of trauma that happened to you. And I'm not saying it was your fault, but the sin that was initiated upon you and violated you in your life, it brought in more demonic, unclean spirits with it to help control your life. It's not only controlling the mental process that you're trying to get through over what happened in the past, but it's also controlling your emotions in the spirit of rage and anger. And we have to realize that sometimes small things that happen, that's why the Bible says forgive, release. Because if not, that door is open to legalize other spirits in your life to operate along with that unforgiveness to help control your life and not bring it under the rule and the freedom and the release of the power of God. For example, you can be violated as a child in your family. And maybe a rape has perpetrated. You never said anything about it. And that unforgiveness has led other spirits in your life till now you may find yourself liking the same sex, liking the same person, liking the same man, liking the same woman. And it's only because the spirit of unforgiveness has continued to remain with you. But I pray that that spirit will be broken off you, and that that curse that was perpetrated on you through that culprit, through that evil person, would be breaking, demolishing your life and give you the freedom that God has made you to enjoy and to have as a human in this world. And so we see Jacob and Esau were two different kind of people. See, it wasn't that Jacob was so much a trickster. He's already had it in him. God prophesied, or in his providence knew beforehand, that this slight little trickery in Jacob will go to Esau and cause him to give his birthright up. But he already knew the kind of character and quality Esau was and would be, that he was a man that fell quickly for the things of the world. He quickly gave up his birthright for the things of food. He quickly married worldly women, the Hittites and the Canaanites. He quickly was the type of person that did not obey his parents. We saw this in the three characteristics versus the three characteristics of Jacob, who obeyed his parents three different times in scripture. Three is a perfect number. Three is the divine number of God. Three is the stamp of approval. It is the Trinity, meaning God the Father, God the Son, and the move of the Holy Spirit backs up anything that is stated three times. Anything three times it comes to you, it means that there's a message from God. It means that that's the person you are, or that's what God wants you to do. So out of these three characteristics of Jacob, and out of these three characteristics of Esau, even though it was bad in a way and good in a way for Jacob, it told you three times something has been done. It tells you what type of person you're getting, what type of person you're coming with. It tells you about all of that. And so it wasn't God who allowed it, but it was the freedom in Esau that allowed it. God just knew ahead of time that the younger would overrule and the older would be subject to the younger, as we see. But we have to look back in the generational line of these two twins. Because when we go back to Abraham and Sarah, we see that Esau didn't just do this upon his own, though he was Isaac's son, but Abraham was his grandfather. Why is Esau liking worldly, lustful, perverted women who will sexually do anything? Why was he so attracted to those women? Well, it was started from his grandfather, whose grandfather was Abraham. Remember, Abraham was married to Sarah, and while he was married to Sarah, God promised that he would have a son. But then they did not wait on the will of God. They tried to do the will of God themselves by presenting the Hagar to Abraham, and Abraham went and slept with Hagar. Hagar was the Egyptian woman. Now, why would you go into bondage when God was I'm saying to my audience, if you know God brought you out of Egypt, if you know God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, why would you go back to bondage and bring that spirit out of Egypt into your present? Hagar was an Egyptian woman. And see, that small little door that anybody in our bloodline can do can open up more damage down our bloodline. It started with Abraham. Abraham slept with Hagar and he got a son named Ishmael. Ishmael was not the chosen child. It was Isaac, because Isaac was born directly from Sarah. And you have to look at that way. Now, Esau comes up. He's the grandson. He's one of the grandsons of Abraham. And he's liking worldly women, women that are in bondage to different addictions. You know, and that's what a Canaanite or Cana mean. Addictions, perversions, exaggerated people pleasing. That's what Canaanite mean. They were lowland people. And so when you say, I rebuke that Canaanite spirit in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that perversion and addictive spirit in the name of Jesus, they're talking about those sexual addictions that were taking place in those fertility cults on the high places. And so Esau just took after his grandfather Abraham, who went into an Egyptian woman. And we also can see, why was Jacob, even though he was the loved son of the home, had qualities and etiquette, know how to treat a woman and look for a woman, but yet he had a lion spirit on him. That also came down through the generations of Abraham as well. Now you remember, Abraham two times lied about Sarai then being his wife. Remember that? If we look in the 12th chapter of Genesis and verse number 13, you're going to see that Abraham lied. Let's look at Genesis chapter number 12, verse 13. Let's start at verse 12. It says, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister, so I will be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. You see, Abraham did not trust God fully, and he wanted Sarah to say that you are my sister instead of my wife. And we see that Jacob, one of the twins, were born, is his other grandson. He was into the spirit of tricking, of lying. He was cunning. He was crafty. He was very charismatic. He was seductive with his words and how he played and exploited on the weakness of his brother Esau. You see, that came through the bloodline of Abraham. It doesn't matter if we're Christians. It doesn't matter that we are born again Christians. There are some things in our bloodlines that we have directly violated toward God, and it can carry on down through our bloodline. Alcoholism is one of them. Abuse of alcohol in any one family, and then it carries on down. Have you ever noticed some families, alcoholism runs through it? And so the second time that Abraham lied was in Genesis chapter 20, verse 2. If you look in Genesis chapter 20, verse number 2, this is the second time he lied about Sarah being his wife. And it reads this. Now, Abraham moved on from there into the region of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. For a while, he stayed in Gerar. And there Abraham said of his wife Sarah, "She is my sister." Then Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent for Sarah and took her. That's the second time he lied. Can you imagine Jacob adopted that from his grandfather Abraham, even though Abraham was the blessed one? Can you imagine that Esau was liking worldly women because it adopted from his grandfather, who did not do the will of God the first time, or he overstepped, should I say, the will of God by trying to have a son from the Egyptian woman? And that carried on. We have a price to pay because of disobedience. We have a price to pay if we don't stand up for the word of God, do what the word of God says, like it says, and not alter it in any kind of way, but just do it, then we'll be blessed, and we can't see down the road that our bloodline is cursed in a specific way until that sin is repented of. And see, Esau and Jacob had adopted those curses from their bloodline, even though they were blessed. But you got to arrive at a place in God, and you have to have him deliver you from that, even if you're walking about your blessed way. You're going on your blessed way. Sure, you're chosen, you're favored of God, but there are some things that you need to be delivered from. If we look in Genesis, the 26th chapter, we'll see Isaac, who also is the blessed son of Abraham. He's the immediate son of his father Abraham. He's not a grandson. In the 26th chapter of Genesis, he does that same thing. Lied. He adopted it from his father Abraham. Verse 9 in Genesis chapter 26, it reads, "So Abimelech summoned Isaac and said, 'She is really your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?' Isaac answered him, 'Because I thought I might lose my life on account of her.' Then Abimelech says, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the men might well have slept with your wife, and you had brought guilt upon us.'" That is Isaac. That is Abraham's son. He does it as well. So the spirit of lying can flow through a generation. It can start off by a small thing, as we quote call white lie. You know, that little lie when you're in trouble, you twist it a little bit. There's some truth in it, but there's some untruth in it. That's why we call it a little white lie. You know, it's like whiting out a mistake on ink and then covering it back up with the written word or the correct word. That white lie, that whitewashed something and put something in place of. And that can carry on through the bloodline and evolve into a bigger curse in somebody's generation. Have you ever met somebody who was a pathological liar? Their mind is so imaginative and so in a fantasy type world that everything they say is a lie. I mean, they believe the most impossible things, but when they tell it to you and you hear it, you know it's a lie. Like, for example, "Oh yeah, my first cousin is the president of the United States," and we know that's not, but they believe it so well. Well, what happened? Their curse grew bigger as it passed down through the bloodline because families or generation weren't repenting of it out of their lives when they recognized it was a violation, it was against the word of God. It was falsification. And so it continued and grew bigger. Folks, it is real that our generations will experience those things. And as we see, and as I've been talking with you today, that there are generational pass-ons. These two weren't totally excluded. And as we pick up in some in our further broadcasts, we're going to see some things. We're going to see even more about Jacob. The things that he started out doing, he ends up paying for down the road, down the line. It's like, you know, what you do, we always say, what you sow, you will reap. Or what you do, it'll come back on you. Or the worldly folks will say, karma. Again, I'm prophet and teacher, Charles T. Walker. Thank you for tuning in today with us. And we'll get with you next time on Series 3 in looking at two sons and honoring the respect of God's way and generational curse. Thank you.